from State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000,
Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something? The podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
You're a loser.
Thank you to Tim Kirchin and Scott Merkin for joining us today. Thanks to Randy Merkin, our executive producer, Chris Black, our associate producer. It is time for Crosstalk. And who's that brought to us by today?
Crosstalk is brought to you by Alpamonte Buick GMC. Shop online at apbuickgmc.com or come visit in person at 364 West Grand Avenue in Elmhurst.
Very nice.
Johnny, well done, buddy.
How are you, Todd? Marky, big to do yesterday.
Johnny.
Chucky Barkley and Mikey Wilbon there, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Forget about Wilbon. Did you guys get my tweet yesterday about you guys were talking about ashes and what's going to happen to Barkley when he dies?
It made me laugh.
I want to put his ashes in basketball.
You said ashes, right?
Passes with ashes.
Right.
That's my company.
That's good.
I want to get some
Voits, maybe some Spaldings. Put them together.
Spalding.
Paint Chuck
Spalding
on there.
Put off the boat.
Some of his stats. You sell the basketballs for $1,000. It goes to Chuck's favorite charity.
Hey, what's your charity? Hey, chatter.
But when you want to take him down from the mantle, you can play catch with Chuck. Chuck will be playing ball for the rest of eternity.
Passes with ashes.
I like it.
Awesome.
That's my idea. When I die, I get cremated. I go into footballs. So that way I can always play catch with my grandkids.
Passes with ashes.
Hey, let's play catch with Grandpa.
Pull him down
off the mantle and play catch with Grandpa.
This is a would you rather, though. I mean, like, neither is too appealing, but going into an incinerator or going in a box in the ground.
Don't deeply think it. It makes me crazy.
I was outside walking my dog two nights ago, and I'm like, you can't put me in this ground. I'll freeze.
Carmen. I know. Right?
You know what Waddle wants to do.
They take the burner up to 1,600 degrees.
Listen, it's really simple.
You're already a goner.
I know. But
they got to harvest all the metal out of your body if you had any.
I don't have any metal.
They put you through a filter, Carm.
If you were older, you may have fillings with gold in them.
Yeah,
and people will be yanking your teeth out of your skull.
That could be. Waddle wants to probably have his head frozen.
No. Listen, I'm a fire scares me. Like, I go around my house turning fires off when my wife has the fires on.
Your wife does like a good candle.
Oh my God.
The candles are lit all over.
You didn't start the fire.
I did not, Johnny.
No, you didn't.
And I'm very claustrophobic.
Right.
So you can't put me in a box. You can't put me in an incinerator.
So what are we going to do with you?
You're going to stuff me, and you're going to pass me from generation to generation.
Can you imagine, like, you walk into...
Yes, and I'm on the mantle of the fireplace.
And he's catching a pass. Yes. Like, he's stuffed like this.
I've given my children the authority to decide what pose they'd like to have me stuffed in.
It's a heater with a Coors Light in his right hand.
That'd be pretty good, too.
I think he is a candidate for an ice floe.
We put you out
on the ice floe and we just push you off.
And when the ice melts, you just go
to the bottom of the sea.
No, I want to be passed around
from
family to family.
You know, you could donate all his organs.
I'm an organ donor. You're an organ donor?
You stuff them.
And stuff Waddle.
Are you an organ donor? I'm an organ donor.
Yeah.
So stop being stuffed.
I've donated a Steinway before, but... No, I'm not an organ donor.
Johnny, something tells me you're more than willing to pass a couple of your organs
around. Frank Pelico, I like that one.
I mean, I don't play the organ game.
Frank Pelico's an organ donor.
Nancy Faust.
I was once an organ, but I've never been an organ donor.
That's pretty good. So, did you guys have fun? That seemed like a lot of fun yesterday.
Yeah,
good work.
It was good.
Barkley's
good people.
Incredible.
Did we predict him correctly where we told you? You said, when's Barkley getting there? When's he scheduled? They said, well, he's scheduled from 4 to 6, but if we know Chuck, the minute he gets here.
What's up, Chuck?
He likes to put the headset on and just get out.
He doesn't need to, and
he glad hands everybody. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right word, but he shakes everybody's hands, socializes. Every commercial break.
That's what I mean.
No one can bother him. Like, it's no one is bothering him. He's open-armed
you
with everybody.
You won't meet a nicer, more famous person.
Like, he's the most welcoming superstar personality I know of.
You'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And I, when he was playing,
and sincere.
I used to think it was the opposite.
I know.
I didn't like him when he played.
I know. I'm
you know, there you. Were the Bulls-Philly rival, and then the Bulls... Phoenix.
Yeah. And you know what? No topics is off limits with him. Yeah. He's willing to talk about anything.
He didn't booze until the final hour, right?
That is correct.
Right?
Yes,
right.
That is correct.
He demanded a drink at the start of the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, of course. It's the hour.
So did I.
I don't blame you. That's when you start drinking.
Yes, it was good.
Did you hear? He dispelled the rumor that he played golf with Michael during the NBA Finals.
I heard that.
That was a thing I think we all thought was true.
Absolutely.
From however it started.
Old wives' tale, I guess, right?
Right.
However it started, who knows? But he said, nope, not true. You believe him?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why would he lie?
I believe he would lie.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No, that's not him.
Are he and Michael going to, like, is there going to be peace made?
We don't know yet. Maybe.
Between he and Mike?
There may be a chance.
There may be
a little bit of a chance.
To give peace a chance.
Right. That's it. That's all we're asking.
Life's too short, you know? And I don't think Charles has a problem at all. And
well,
Mike's got to put
to Waddle yesterday.
Kumbaya,
said,
man.
Say they did get, they made peace. Could you go, can you truly go back to being what you were after the Cold War?
No.
Like, you know what I mean? You were that close. They were best friends.
You can't, but you might be able to have some communication. You might have some communication there.
Mm.
But you can't go back to what it once
was.
You may
be able to stay in touch, but like Michael's got two young kids, right?
Yeah, he does.
He's got a different, you know, just different environment.
Different lifestyle, I guess, at this point. Yeah. All right, Astros cheating scandal, gentlemen.
That was a quick transit.
Well,
it is something Barkley. Like Michael doesn't like to do anything. Isn't it amazing?
No, for a guy that's done everything, now he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah,
and he's still an owner.
Rumor is he's been coming in, but he ain't staying for the game.
Yeah, why?
That was the rumor.
He'll come in for the weekend, maybe party a little.
There's a Nike party.
Yeah, see.
But I don't know if he's staying for the game from what we've heard. Patrick Mahomes is coming in town.
That's what everybody's saying.
And he's supposedly now playing in the celebrity game.
Right, which is good. You know, don't get hurt.
That was just going to say. Keep it simple and nice and easy.
Boy, God, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm like, you're going to do what? Yeah. Take it easy.
Oh, listen, these guys play racquetball. They play basketball. Yeah. They run.
Listen, he was probably doing more on the parade route than he will in that
game. That's right. Maybe. Yeah.
After they introduce him and the rest of the celebrities, then they say, they turn out the lights and they go, hey, we've got a surprise.
He caught
from North Carolina.
Michael
number
Jordan.
10, oh. Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch comes out North Carolina.
I got you there with the North Carolina, didn't
he'd look like Anthony Adams shooting the basketball. You know in that video Anthony Adams
Double
has?
A's playing.
By the way, why is Justin Bieber tweeting pictures of Anthony Adams?
People love Spice.
Boy, Spice
is an internet sensation.
He is. But you also don't know. I mean, he was on HBO. He was on,
he's on Ballers.
Ballers. Dude, he's an actor. He's a thespian.
Spice is something.
His basketball, what is his basketball alter ego? What is it?
Biggins.
Cream Biggins.
Not Kareem. Cream. C-R-E-M-E. Cream Biggins.
So funny. Did you see the thing he did with Benny the Bull a week or two ago?
I don't think so.
It's on social media.
I got to go watch
it. They were at the Advocate Center. They were scrimmaging one-on-one.
He's the best.
He is.
And let me tell you something. Cream Biggins is losing the LBs. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, he looks great.
He's dropping pounds like they're going out of style.
We saw him in Miami.
Yeah. He's the best.
We ran into him.
He's fantastic.
Just in case nobody's told him. I've been checking out old Double A to see what's going on.
Really?
Yeah.
He cracks me up.
It's interesting.
On Twitter, guys. On Twitter, I see Anthony.
That's
and
totally cool.
I go back to a tweet from a year ago. You go to a tweet now, and it's like, ooh, the amazing disappearing Anthony Adams. He's pulling a David Blaine on us right in front of our eyes.
Yeah. He looks great.
He does look fantastic.
Hey, how about that? How about that apology today?
What did you guys make of that? Well, you know, apologies like that are tough. I don't know that they could do much else, right? I mean,
well, the one thing is when the owner says I didn't say that, and then he did say that. I mean, that's not a good thing. I mean,
we had a little craziness earlier. When we got on, somebody was 83% of the audience wanted them to forfeit their championship or they wanted it vacated or wanted it taken back. And we had to slow everybody down and say, hey, listen, guys, all this has come out before. They were warned in September 15, 2017, when they had their adjudication and they came out with who the guilty parties were. They had it all in there. Everything was in there. You can't go back and do anything because to get the players to cooperate, you basically gave them clemency. So what are you doing? What are you going back now?
When was that? When
now
was that
we want to punish the players. The 8-pager that they released at that time, they said talked about the players in there.
Right.
In order to get the truth,
they gave them
clemency.
Immunity, where they could just
or clemency. That's a religious way.
They could be honest, and they wouldn't be punished for the honesty.
September 15th of 2017 said they weren't going to hold the players liable. They were going to hold the manager and the general manager liable.
I mean, they basically said it twice.
Yeah. So it was out there.
Saying, guess what? We've cheated. Now you're suspended.
No,
we were lying about. I mean, you guys cheated. We're cheating you now.
You'd be opening up yourself up to a lawsuit.
They've already screwed the players over one time when they had that theoretical private drug test. That all of a sudden people decided they were going to leave all over the place. Still no positive test.
Yeah, but if you're talking September something, that's prior to the World Series,
September 15th. Right. That's when that was the watches. Remember when the smartwatches were
Yeah, the Apple watches, right?
He sent a memo to every team. And that's why he was so mad at the Astros, because they continued to do it.
Did you see Trevor Bauer's article in the Players' Tribune?
No.
It's really good.
I know.
I saw Trevor Bauer's reaction.
He says in there, you know, look, this is something he mentioned. When he first caught wind of it, not this, but don't you remember when he was bringing up the thought that they were every pitcher in the league, or 70% of the pitchers in the league, were putting a foreign substance on the baseball to get more
spin.
More spin on
spin rate.
Should read it. I know you're a baseball junkie.
Were they putting it on their hands?
Basically saying guys are cheating all the time.
He said 70% of the guys in the league, he thought back then, were putting something on the ball to improve their spin rate.
They all do it. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, but these guys aren't allowed in the Hall of Fame, and now 70% of the pitchers are cheating.
I don't want to change the topic because it's an exceptional topic. We had a lot of fun with it today, but
we're talking about the power play.
Watching the golf right now. Justin Thomas has got a tee in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So worst thing you can do is put something into the ground on a golf course.
Well, because it's got fertilizer.
Then put 100%.
Yeah.
Like I had a bad habit when I was young of licking the golf ball because there's some dirt on it.
Yeah, me too.
And trying to wipe it clean because I didn't have any towel with water on or anything like that.
Spit on it.
It's the worst thing you can do. He's doing this. Kids watch him. You got to be cognizant of the fact that there's youngsters watching you play golf
right
now.
This is a Steve Stone of golf.
Know the peg had been in the ground before? It is a pre-planted peg routine.
This has been planted.
The more you know, Yurko.
Right. Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
I watched it. I should never
watching golf today.
All the kids
He's right. They'll tell you, never lick your golf ball.
I know. I do it all the time,
all the pesticides and fertilizers. Don't do it.
And then I rub it on the ball and I know it's
I drink out of the cup, you know, like if there's a little water in the cup, I take it out and I drink the water. No, you shouldn't do any of that stuff.
There's beer in there.
Yeah.
What's drink up from on the laughing show, boys?
So, yeah, I want to talk about this cheating stuff. Waddle has
a good point
about the crisis management. Like if there's ever a time for crisis management, and yet they continue to flub it. It's unbelievable. They were prepped for how long?
But that's always the case.
Yes, that's what I want to give. Yeah. The example of history of all this stuff.
Always.
I've got a list for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
So, don't you have if you have a billion-dollar entity, don't you have a crisis management PR team?
It screws up because it's unpleasant. There's no good way to do it.
And ultimately, when the owner's the one talking and he's in charge of even the crisis management team, you're in trouble.
Right, see?
So we have Pat Boyle to talk about those Hawks who just can't win.
Can't score.
Barstool Big Cat today, Mark Jean Greco, maybe Stephen A. I saw him over at First Take today in Chicago. We got a lot of fun. We'll start with the baseball cheating and those Astros, and you spell it with two S's.
All right, boys. We'll see you. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, to wrap the week. Waddle and Sylvie are next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, so the Astros did their big apology tour. It was a terrible tour.
Yeah, it was not good.
Twitter
just...
It's like one of those tours when an old rock band comes back for the first time and you think it's going to be this glorious tour. Ooh, there's going to be good stuff coming out of this. And then they don't have their fastball. These Astros players, what they thought was an apology today.
Yeah, that was not good. I don't know what people were going to... I don't know. My expectation level wasn't really high, This one failed to even reach the low expectation.
And I think Carmen was getting after this, too, what he was alluding to. This is the first thing I thought of, Waddle, when you mentioned the crisis management team, that, hey, all these teams have a public relations department to begin with.
Yes.
Then the owner has his own PR team. And then when you have a crisis like this, your general manager got fired, your manager got fired, your team is accused of even more cheating that still hasn't not been really disproven. Do we, like, even yesterday, players around baseball were still saying that they're still not totally sure the buzzers were not used.
Yeah.
Aaron Boone said that. The manager of the rival, the Yankees, who were eliminated. Aaron Boone would not say for sure that he would. It's still a questionable thing to him whether or not they were using buzzers in 19. So with all that being said, this is the way these baseball players and these athletes, like, I was thinking about all these apology tours. Think Ryan Braun. Do you remember when Ryan Braun
blamed the guy that was collecting the urine?
Yes. Ryan Braun tested positive. And do you remember how he discredited, like, there was a whole rumor it was because he was a Cubs fan.
Right.
And Brewers fans they were going after him because supposedly the carrier for the FedEx was a Cubs fan. And it was a giant conspiracy that Ryan Braun he was totally clean, but the FedEx guy, because he was a Cubs fan, had it in for him.
Liar.
Do you remember Lance Armstrong?
Liar. Liar.
Did he apologize, or did he start this like ruining people's reputation?
He was a liar. He lied.
I think at some point he did apologize, but that's after he had been proven to be a liar.
What about Rafael Palmeiro? Remember when he was pointing his finger?
Liar. Yeah.
Wagging that finger?
Liar.
And then didn't he test positive like soon after that?
I believe so. He was a liar.
B12 shots and stuff?
Yeah. Somebody mixed something in his B12.
And what was it? Was it Giambi? Who, when Giambi would apologize, Giambi would say, "I'm sorry," but he never said, "I'm for." Or was that A-Rod? One of the two, they just kept saying, "I'm sorry," but they didn't say what they're sorry for, and they never admitted to doing it.
You're right. There are very few sports apologies that hit home. Now, I will say this. Despite the mess that the Astros created this morning with their apology tour, I thought Carlos Correa actually... I thought he stole the show today on that front.
Okay, you want to play some of this? First, should I go with the guys who were a little defiant?
Sure.
Bregman and Altuve? And then the Crane, the owner, Jim... It's, yeah, Jim Crane, right?
I believe so.
The Jim Crane who told us like a month ago, we're going to get together and we're going to have a strong statement. And then he just contradicted himself and he... At one point, he said, no, it didn't affect the game. And I think it was Paston who then said, how could you say it did not have an effect on the game? And then Jim Crane tried to say, well, I never said it didn't have an effect on the game, when a minute earlier, he said it didn't have an effect on the game.
It all happened in a matter of like 70 seconds.
Our opinion is that this didn't impact the game.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game.
What?
Our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game.
And then that is not like from a year ago. That's not like from a cap show from October, or then another answer in January. Wow. This is from the same press conference 70 seconds, 55 seconds earlier.
And this is where crisis management teams they sit and they cringe, because there are crisis management teams from a PR standpoint that they do their job, but ultimately they can't stop the owner of the team from talking. So you can have a plan laid out and we're going to do this and we're going to say this and this is the way it's going to go. But ultimately the guy with the biggest forum, who is the owner, you can't. I mean, if he's going to come out and do stuff like that, there's nothing that crisis management team can do.
Here's Bregman.
I have some brief remarks.
Brief.
That I'd like to share with y'all. I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I have learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
And that was it, right?
Wouldn't it have been cool if he had one of those devices like you get from Panera when your food's ready and it goes off?
I thought I heard a buzzing in the background. Yeah. Was he being buzzed? Listen closely.
I have some brief remarks that I'd like to share with y'all. Well, I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this.
You heard the same thing I heard.
That's static electricity. Listen, I think at one point, too, he probably went on to say, we will continue to steal signs, but we won't do it with technology going forward. I mean, listen, that is, I get, it's been part of baseball for years, stealing signs and all kinds of things. Like, if you're on the football field and a defense can pick up the audible calls of a quarterback, like, if the quarterback, whether he's in our town or some other town, I mean, you choose, and he's not creative enough to kind of mix up his cadence, or you can get a, you know, kind of a beat on what the audible is, that's gamesmanship. When you start to use the things that the Astros were using, that's when it's completely unacceptable. And that's why I think all of these players are bristling. Now, I would say this. If you've got some dirty laundry, be careful. Don't get out there and start, you know, yapping, because that dirty laundry will eventually bubble to the surface.
Like Verlander all the time. That was a problem people had with Verlander today, is that Verlander, he always wants a platform to rip people who are doing things the wrong way. And today, now, all of a sudden, it's different. Here's Altuve.
I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night. And I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball. And our team is determined to move forward, to play with intensity, and to bring back a championship to Houston in 2020.
Championship.
Thank you.
Did he say championship or did he say something else? Look, the other thing is both he and Bregman said we're going to be brief. Now, okay, and I know, and that's where your crisis management team is coaching you, and they're telling you, listen, don't stand out there and take questions because this is going to go sideways. But look, if you're truly remorseful and you truly want to put this, have this, you know, meet it head on and then try to tuck it away and move on to other things, the last thing you want to hear, if you're a reporter, if you're a skeptical and an angry player that's in the league that may have been negatively affected by this, the last thing you want to see is people make a 20-second brief apology and then move on and say, you know what, I just want to get back to baseball. Well, listen.
Will PR let reporters ask, like, if will they be kicked out if a reporter after a game asks one of these guys questions about the cheating? Or I mean, because they haven't answered questions, have they?
Well, that's my point. Is I think in a lot of ways, if you don't answer all of the questions now, address them at the very least 90% of them, it's just going to bleed into the season. So
this was absolutely, look, this was, they checked a box. This was when my 9-year-old son hits my daughter and I tell him to knock it off, apologize to her, and he just goes, I'm sorry. And you know it's not sincere. That's all they did was read a statement to you. This was why we talked about it. Carmen played it earlier. Carlos Correa, he at least was a little, he showed some contrition and took some culpability in the statement. But this was in the locker room when he was asked about it today. And I think part of it was because Carlos Beltran, he was sticking up for Carlos Beltran, and he didn't want Beltran to be scapegoated for the entire cheating scandal. Right. But
you want me to play that here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's Correa. And again, there was an article that came out, I believe, in The Athletic that said it was Beltran who pressured everybody. He was the figurehead, and he was the guy saying, you guys are behind the times. You got to get this thing going. And no one wanted to stand up to him. This is what Carlos Correa had to say in response to that story.
The thing I have a problem with is when I read that report is that we were scared of him or we felt intimidated. We didn't feel scared of Beltran. We didn't feel intimidated. He was the nicest guy that we could ever have. He was the best teammate we've ever had. Beltran was obviously a leader of the clubhouse, but we all had a say in everything that we were doing in there. And, you know, whatever he said and whatever we were doing, we had the chance to stop it as a team. Everybody had the chance to say something, and we did it. So whoever the anonymous source is that's saying that we felt intimidated, we were too young to say something, that's just straight up bullshit. Beltran didn't intimidate nobody. Beltran's the nicest guy. And I know in Puerto Rican people will say, oh, he's just trying to protect him, but you can talk to every single guy here that was in 2017. Beltran is an unbelievable gentleman. He's a straight up gentleman, and nobody, not even you guys, nobody will feel intimidated by his presence, by his leadership, and whatever he has to say. He showed how to play baseball hard. He was a veteran. He was inspiring whenever we were slumping. He was there for us. So I don't see a person that's your mentor and is there for you when you're struggling as an intimidating person.
Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I don't think there were any winners wearing Astros uniforms today or front office guys or owners there, but he came closest to you know, getting high marks for something, saying something correctly.
What do you think of when you hear about this story, when you hear these apologies, and do you get more mad? Meller made the case, and I'll let him make it next, that he wanted, after hearing all the lack of contrition today, is that he more than ever wants that World Series vacated. And there are more people like him who think that way. And then again, this is just another layer of cheating in baseball that seems to constantly happen no matter the era. 312-332-3776. We want to hear from you, the baseball fan. It's always something controversial in baseball, and we'll get after it next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you love baseball, and then the only time it becomes a national story these days is whether it's like rule changes to fix the game or players who have cheated.
I think, yeah, I mean, if you're an Astros fan too, you're just like, really, guys? I mean, really? Really? I mean,
Ken's an Astros fan. You want to hear from him?
Oh.
Ken's in Palatine. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. Waddle and Sylvie, big fans of you guys.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
As an Astros fan, I'm not embarrassed by what they did on the field to cheat. I'm embarrassed by the press conference today. I thought that was ridiculous. I thought that the way they handled it was absolutely horrible. But I was actually the caller on Kaplan's show this morning that was talking about how I don't think it affected what happened on the field. And I hope that Carmen and Yurko are listening, because I applaud them during crosstalk when they came in and said exactly, they set the fans straight. You know, the title shouldn't be taken away from them, especially when Carmen said if he thinks that anybody wants to think that the Astros won the World Series strictly because they cheated would be wildly inaccurate, and there's no reason to strip the title from them. I completely agree. The one thing I don't know why is why they waited so long to have this press conference when all of those reports came out a month ago.
Let me ask you this, though, Ken. I mean, how do you feel as a diehard Astros fan about them using technology to know what pitch is coming?
Well, I mean, what I talked to Kaplan before was, you know, in games 1 and 2 of that ALCS against the Yankees, They won both games 1 and 2, 2-1. They had 5 hits in both games, scored 2 runs. If you know exactly what pitch is coming, you would think that you'd put more runs and more hits on the board.
You would think that, but you have an advantage that is unnatural based on technology that you're using that is in direct violation of what the commissioner sent out. So, I mean, listen, it's still a very difficult game to play at a high level, but I'll give you a better example, and I know that the Nationals won the World Series this year, but you're telling me, Ken, as a diehard Astros fan, that you don't believe that pitch that Altuve parked in left center field from Chapman, not knowing or knowing that it was coming in off speed and not the 105 mile an hour heater, you're going to tell me that didn't help his chances of actually doing what he did.
I'm saying you'll never know. You'll never know.
And I mean, your Astros put themselves in that position by doing all this. At the very least, now we'll never know, and they'll always be questioned.
But can't we even make the statement? You say we never know, but can't you make the statement that, hell yeah, I've got a better chance of parking that ball in the left field seats when I know I'm getting off speed from a dominant, you know, fastball pitching, really intimidating lefty?
Well, I think the bottom line is if Chapman throws that pitch 106 miles an hour instead of 103 and Altuve swings and misses and the Yankees win it in extra innings, we're not even talking about this.
Right? I know.
Wasn't it a slider?
Yes, it was an off-speed
pitch.
That's
the thing. It wasn't a fastball, Ken. That's when you know it's slider and you don't have to sit on the fastball. Because
correct.
Now you know it's a slider
yes.
coming. You know how much easier that makes it?
No, because I can't hit a slider.
Now, Ken, I love you, brother, but now you're muddy in the water because you're an Astro fan, and I get it. I'm just saying to you, look, I wouldn't strip titles. I wouldn't do it. But I don't think you can explain away. Hitting a baseball, I think, is the most difficult thing to do at the highest level of anything. I think it takes the most hand-eye coordination to be able to stand up there and do what some of these top hitters in the league do is incredible to me. I can't imagine the difference between not knowing what's coming at you and actually knowing what's coming at you. And you may not hit the, you may hit it hard and hit it at somebody, or you may pull it foul. But, and again, the other team gets paid and they may make a great defensive play. I don't think just because the games went this way or that way is a good defense for what they did. Like, it didn't really have an effect. Well, it gave you an unnatural edge.
And remember, so Alex Wood, who was pitching for the Dodgers when they lost to the Astros in the 2017 World Series, about a month ago, he tweeted, "I would rather face a player that was taking steroids than face a player that knew every pitch that was coming." So that's a guy who plays in the game right now, wow. letting you know how big of an advantage it can be, in his opinion.
Of course.
A pitcher.
The pitchers are trying to trick the hitters. They're trying to, you think I'm throwing fastball? Here's an off-speed. It's tough enough to hit my off-speed stuff, but when you're expecting a fastball, you got no chance.
This is why I don't believe there'll be as much retribution as some may think, or that it will go away sooner rather than later, because as Trevor Bauer said, 70% of the pitchers are using a foreign substance to get more spin on the baseball. If you have a clear conscience, if you're standing out there and you're barking and you're one of the ones saying things loudest,
Verlander barks at everybody. And now all of a sudden it's different now that he's on that team.
It's easy to say that, but when you get on the mound or you and you're using rosin or pine tar to get a little extra spin on your baseball, but you want to play sheriff and throw at Altuve, really? Are you really? I mean, you're not grabbing high moral ground on me if you're using something to make the baseball do different things.
Well, there are more people in general who are more bark than bite. So I feel like that's just a natural instinct to think that something's going to happen, but it's really just barking. But I do think there will be guys who are cool with testing them.
That's fine. I'm just telling you.
Come at me here. Here's a little something for you.
I think it'll be forgotten sooner rather than later in terms of the policing from the opponent.
The Yankees, the first time the Yankees play them?
Like I said.
Oh, that's must-see TV.
You're right. But like I said, you better be a Yankees pitcher who's the guy that's getting the stuff off his neck. I mean, you guys have done it in the past. You guys have done some of the same stuff. That's fine, but he did it while...
Remember how much pine tar he had in his neck?
He did it when he was a Yankee. So, again, be careful as you try to grab the moral high ground when the retribution's about to take place.
So you're thinking more after today, you were more angered and wanted vacated more and more?
When we had this argument initially when it came down, and I was fine. I don't know if I was strong about wanting it vacated, but I was perfectly fine if MLB decided they were going to vacate the Astros title. And part of the reason is, look, as Ken said, we don't know, or as Jim Crane, the Astros owner, told you earlier today, we don't think it had an impact on the game. I don't care. You forfeit the moral high ground to be the judge and executioner and tell me how much of an effect it had when you're the ones cheating.
That's what I mean. They made their own bed.
And because of this press conference, I want more so for MLB to vacate the title from them. Not because I think it'll have any huge impact on the game, But they'll have to wear that as a scarlet letter. They'll be the team that had their World Series forfeited, and you can't trot up there and give me a sorry apology tour and say, oh, we already addressed it come regular season time. We talked about it. We're moving on. We're trying to be a better team now. We're trying to win a championship for the Astros fans. Stop. Wear it like a scarlet letter. That could be the end of it, and you vacate your title. I'd be perfectly fine if that's the way they chose to come down on it. Not because they need some sort of it needs to be rid. It's a punishment that they need to wear.
Graham's in Lincoln Park. Hey, Graham, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, Waddle and Sylvie, love the show. Follow you guys on Instagram. Big fan.
Thank you.
Just wanted to voice in. I'm with a lot of people today. I mean, we put people on the moon. We can't make this game.
Don't tell Abdallah that.
What's that?
Don't tell Abdallah that we put people on the moon. He doesn't believe it, but I digress. Go ahead, Graham.
Well, so, speakers in the ears. Mike's, you know, we got to make this game so that people can't do this. And then, you know, my comment on the whole penalty or the punishment. I mean, these guys, hit them where it hurts with the money. And then also, I think they should address the kids. I mean, when I played Little League, my coaches, they made me go, and we watched Major League Baseball all the time. What is this sending? What message is this sending to the kids that play games all day long? And you know, it's just a cheating scandal in general is just bad. But I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
He gave us the thing about the children.
Yeah. I would say this though, Graham. I mean, look, what do you tell about the kids when you know somebody's grabbing pine tar and doctoring the ball? What do you tell the kids when you know you are stealing signs? You just tell the kids that, hey, that's just gamesmanship. I mean,
you teach them a lesson. There are a lot of people who will do anything at all costs, but the way we're bringing you up is we do things the right way because we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and accept the fact that cheating is not right. That's what you do. I mean, but the thing that angers me about baseball is the high moral ground everyone loves to get on with the guy. This thing will continue. It may have been buzzers last year. It was banging on garbage cans in 17. As Trevor Bauer said, 70% of pitchers. It's like Ken Caminiti saying 60% of the hitters were juicing. I mean, forever and ever and ever. And that's why I don't like people picking and choosing. And maybe it says more about me why I go back to the 90s guys and why I hate when Bonds and McGuire and Sosa are forever held in this baseball jail, that all these guys, so many guys that we don't know may have cheated. We'll never know. We don't know who's cheating, but yet we hold them in this baseball cell, the Pete Rose cell, the Sammy Sosa cell, and forever they're locked up there, and we get on our moral high ground, and this stuff just continues. Now these guys do it, and not one player is getting a one-game suspension. Not one game suspension.
Because it's odd.
Because they had to tell the truth? Oh, you had to tell the truth, so you're safe. These other guys here who are part of a whole era that cheated. I'm not saying that was right either. I'm just saying that, geez, we pick and choose. Yes, let's make sure that Sosa, forever, he's not allowed in Wrigley. He's never allowed at the Cubs convention. He's never allowed in our Hall of Fame. Hey, Altuve, you want to play opening day? Cool.
I find it odd, too, on a broader scale. I find it hard to believe that the Astros, and we still haven't heard about the Red Sox, but that ruling will come out soon, that they're the only two teams using technology to do this. In the era of technology.
Oh, yeah.
It's not those two teams. I fail to understand how. So now when you realize that, this is why I would disagree a little bit with Jeff, because I don't know who else is doing it. So to me, it's all muddied. The same story for me with steroids. I didn't know which relief pitchers were doing it, which starting pitchers were doing it. I think there's no doubt that when Barry Bonds or Mark McGuire or whoever it is, when you take steroids, I know what people say, you still have to be able to hit a baseball. Do you know what more force you can bring the bat through the hitting zone with if you've got the extra strength? I mean, your force applied to the baseball coming in, if you're able to swing harder and you're stronger, that is going to help you.
Yeah. Let's continue the conversation. 332-3776. Abdallah, make sure Joey in Schaumburg doesn't hang up because he's bringing a strong point to our next segment with this. And also, I've got a $50 gift card to Great Clips to give away in conjunction with our 20 greatest bowls of all time. All that's next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Talking about the Astros apology, that wasn't a great apology. A lot wrong with everything and a lot wrong going on in baseball these days. Just one day after another of bad pub. Whether people don't like the new postseason that's going to go into effect in a couple of years that they've been thrown out, or, you know, the pace of the game, ratings falling, and now the cheating scandal, and how many people cheat here. Where does this go? Is this just two teams? I mean, come on, it's never just two, yeah, like you mentioned, Waddle. It's a really good point. Joey in Schaumburg has a good point. Joey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just drive me nuts listening, especially that Ken guy who called in talking about how it doesn't make a difference, you know, knowing the pitch. And I'm like, don't they always said that baseball, especially between the pitcher and batter, is like a chess match. So it's like a chess match, and I'm playing chess, which I don't play. I'm way too dumb to play chess. But if you play chess, that if I knew the move that the guy was going to make that I was playing next, why it would totally affect the move I'm going to make now. It takes the whole point out of thinking of chess. It's no longer chess. You know exactly what the other guy's going to do. And that's how I compare it to hitting a baseball. If you're waiting on, you know, like you said, 98 miles an hour up high, and the guy's coming at you with same arm angle, same everything, it looks the same arm speed, and all of a sudden he drops a 82-an-hour curveball on, you're going to swing and miss. Of course, you don't know what's coming. It takes the whole point of baseball away, and it gave the Astros an astronomical advantage.
Joey, good call.
Yeah, I think that was a fan just kind of, you know, trying to defend his favorite team.
He just didn't like the apology, right?
Yes.
That was the biggest thing he had to gripe with, Ken?
I mean, yeah, it's... Once you use technology, and I don't know how many teams are using technology, you have crossed the threshold of something that anybody, I think, would be willing to accept.
Well, like, the apology to me is BS, too, and then the owner, Jim Crane, coming out and saying, you know, they were
just...
It didn't
affect the game?
Well, not saying... No, it's not even that, because we all know that that's BS. We know that it affected the game. Like, that's just lying. But it was these are young guys that were misled by their leaders. Like, we've all gone to sleepaway camp, right? Like, we've all gone to camp. I went to camp, and
just a couple days for me. I did the 4-day, 3-night trial one.
You know what? I think we slept in football camp. We slept, but I never went to camp.
So I went to camp once, and
was it fun?
Yeah, it was fine. What'd
you do?
Well, we did, you know, the basic camp, your outdoorsy camp thing.
Roast marshmallows.
What is that? What'd you do?
We did like hiking, and we did like swimming and like canoeing and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But my point is this: we pranked another cabin. Okay? You know who got in trouble when we got caught? We did. Not our counselors. Our counselors were yelled at for, not having control of us. But we got in trouble because we were the ones in the wrong. That's what this is. You can yell at the manager, you can yell at the GM, and you can punish them too. But ultimately, you have to punish the people that cheated. Right. So they're the ones that cheated.
It's a great point. It's like what I was saying about this baseball jail that we hold lots of people in, and then Altuve gets to play opening day. And he may have worn buzzers, by the way, too, in a different year. But then the point is that Yurko brought up, A, they promised him immunity to get the truth. So maybe we don't know the full details of this story and how this really worked. If the players didn't speak up, do you know what I'm saying? Or do you guys think that if they would have done the investigation properly and not promised immunity, that they still, based on what Mike Fire said to start this all, do you think we still would have gotten to the bottom of this?
I don't know. Listen, as whoever said it was right, you can't subpoena them. So they could have just said, you know what, I'm not answering any questions because I don't want to face any penalties. But if you promise me that I'm not going to face any penalties, then I'll tell you the story. I mean, so it's... I'm not sure what they're... I think the commissioner's office got really pissed for good reason because they sent out the memo after the watch thing and said, stop doing it. And they didn't stop doing it.
I suspect they knew
They brought a lot of Astros players because they had heard from people around the league and former players like Mike Fiers. And so they probably had a pretty good idea of what went down. And they probably presented, okay, this is what we've got, Alex Bregman. Confirm or deny this.
Yeah.
And if you're honest with us, things will go a lot better for you, and we will give the rest of your players immunity.
The
like
weirdest thing of all still is, and I don't know what to believe and what not to believe, is the whole, when Altuve hit the home run against Chapman, he ran inside. I mean, not only was he grabbing his jersey.
I'm embarrassed by what he does.
If you watch the film, if I'm not mistaken, after he did what he did, he went into the dugout and went down into the clubhouse and then came out.
Right. Let me take Tom and Kenosha, and we'll continue these calls, and then we'll do the Bulls stuff. Tom, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me good?
Yeah.
So how about this idea? You know, you can't really take anything away from them that they've already achieved. But what you can do is have a season where – and this is going to hit them hard, where they get no titles whatsoever. You can play the season, but if you win the division, you don't go to the playoffs. You can win the batting title, but you don't get the credit for doing it. Because then they'll be playing the season for nothing.
But this is what I would interject on that topic, Tom.
Like an NCAA penalty.
If you do that, how does that affect the competitive balance of the rest of the American League and all of baseball? Because if you can't go anywhere and you're not eligible, are you really putting together or putting forth your best effort on a game-in and game-out basis? Now, what you decide to do, sitting guys or changing your approach, may have an enormous effect on other teams. So if you go into the season and you know you can't visit the postseason, you're going to tell me that that team is going to approach the season the same way?
Would they rebuild? Would they like trade some of their guys in a year that
That's
I don't know?
That's my point. You could change the entire landscape of
that
both
may be good.
Leagues.
You would change the landscape of their team though too.
Or they keep their guys and just say they're not going to rebuild. Why would they rebuild? They still have a really good team, but they may sit their guys.
Enjoy 2020 then. Enjoy a year off in the prime of your career.
Right. That's my point is now you're not putting the best team possible out there, which would affect the balance of power in the American League.
Right now I need caller 20 to win a $50 gift card to Great Clips. It's time for our top 20 all-time Bulls.
Shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
Derrick Rose!
Oh, a spectacular by Michael Jordan!
Bam!
Yes!
Big time, Onion!
Oh, good!
The Bulls do what no team has done before. History here in Milwaukee.
Presented by Great Clips. The countdown continues. Number 11.
1.8 left, no timeouts left for the Bulls. Fiers triggers an inbounds pass. Kukoc for the win! It goes! Oh, brother!
That's actually the best. Now, the worst best highlight, I think, is the way you would describe it, because Scottie sat out 1.8. But Tony saved the day against the Knicks. The Bulls had a big controversy. The bottom line here is Tony Kukoc, the waiter Waddle, is my number 11 all-time Bull. He came to the Bulls and Michael retired immediately. He still, though, was good right off the bat. 11 points per game in his rookie year. And then the year that Michael came back midway through, nearly 16 points per game. This is a guy who could pass the ball. He could shoot from the outside. He came off the bench. Tony Kukoc was a stud and a man ahead of his time, too.
Sixth man of the year in 1996.
Tall and could still handle the basketball, run that point forward as well, sort of like Scotty. And Tony Kukoc was an all-time great, and he is my number 11 all-time Bull. It's all brought to you by Great Clips, salon-quality hair care, and down-to-earth prices. Go to greatclips.com to find one of their over 150 Chicagoland locations. Download the online check-in app and avoid the wait. Great clips. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And also an example of you can still find value in the second round. He was a second round pick.
Yeah, because they knew he was staying overseas. Right. That's why they got him then. Yeah. All right. More of your calls on this baseball scandal. And then Pat Boyle on why the Hawks can't win anymore. Waddle and Sylvie, more in 2 minutes.